Hi, welcome. Bonjour. I'm very happy to be here, to be here again, and especially very happy that we're going to be practicing together for a couple of days. Always very exciting for me to think that the group of people are going to sit together in silence and do nothing. I cannot think of something more exciting than doing nothing in good company. Many things I'd like to say as we begin this weekend of practice. Maybe one of the really, really important thing to do is to acknowledge that this is happening in nature, that belongs to nature. And we're coming here to study human nature, in nature. Maybe I'll speak more about this, the view around this, but something about something really seems very appropriate about developing listening skills and consideration for nature. You know, it seems like a really appropriate thing to do, what we're going to be doing this weekend, paying attention, considering humbly, honestly. Yeah. So nature belongs to itself, and we might discover many ways here to not appropriate any of what's going to be, not take wrongful ownership of or identify with what's happening in so many ways. But now, so maybe extremely important to recognize that this is a land where the Saanich Esquim malt. And Songhees people have lived for centuries, millenniums maybe. It's a traditional land we're sitting on, it's extremely important to notice this and acknowledge this. And this is just a few words around this, but the whole endeavor of mindfulness and the Dharma is to recognize suffering and release suffering. So I think it's this is exactly the Dharma here, and the mindfulness to actually recognize what is truly happening. And so, you know, it's a very wide field of inquiry, I think, the project called Canada, you know. I know that I've been told since my childhood that it's a beautiful project, you know, and because of some of us here who have, are more awakened than others of us, have been called to actually question, become really attentive, go underneath the preconceived ideas to see where the suffering lies, which is exactly the practice of the Dharma, is to become really interested in my assumptions about things, my preconceived ideas, and go just a little under to see, is that true? Or is there something here not fully acknowledged, viewed, you know? That's what we call insight. And so, meditation practitioners develop the capacity to be with the unknown, the confused mind, or you know, have a cognitive dissonance, you know, the uncomfortable. And that's the field of research, I think. Includes a lot of not being in a precarious equilibrium. And so, so what's our relationship with the land? What's been our relationship with the land here for many of us? You know, it's an extremely important thing. And so here we are, you know, nature on a traditional land, practicing an ancient wisdom and way to actually feel and know the world that comes from Asia, that's been for many thousands of years developed and nurtured and held and transmitted on another continent. It found its way in the basement in Victoria. You know, and it's taught by, it's guided or by this time by a French Canadian. You know, so the world is a rich place where there's a lot of paradox and beauty and potential and harm also. And we sit in the middle of all this. This is the practice, and we're here together. And maybe it's important to say that we're all totally welcome here. So despite whatever we could see, I think it's important to say that whatever age you are, you're welcome. That whatever is your skin color, or the story of your people, or your mother tongue, or your gender or gender expression or non-gendered expression. I hope non-binary folks will feel at ease also with the washrooms, though it's offered here, and with the fullness of the experience of being here. Sexual orientation, all these things is good to name. The abilities, you know, I'll be talking about walking meditation. And so we'll see if it's a fitting practice for each one of us, and you'll have to see for yourself and honor this. So there's a big, you know, there's many spectrum where I'm all somewhere in the, I want to say, the beautiful spectrum of ability, and we're all moving, you know. This is where we are today. Later this afternoon, we might have moved a little bit on that spectrum of ability, and in the course of our lifetime, it'll play out, you know, in some ways, you know, the abilities that we have. And so all of these are welcome in every way. So whatever also is the state of your heart, mind, is also part of what's happening here. So with 100 people or so, we can imagine that there's light hearts here, and heavy hearts also, broken hearts and numb hearts and closed hearts and neutral hearts. Like, the whole range is there, and it might move also from moment to moment. And so that's also a part of what's happening here. And maybe I can also say a word or two on, I'm talking about this cognitive diversity. You know, so some of us come here and we're sitting here experiencing this through the filter or field of, I don't know, depression or PTSD, or there's a wide range of anxieties. And many of us have deal with this. And so there can be mental health and also the absence of it right now. And that's also part of the practice. And we're all moving also on that line at different times in our lives, depending on, I don't know, hormones, biology, circumstances. Yeah. Being human beings. Wow. What a trip. Huh? It's a strange thing. It's really worth being attentive, being attentive and maybe tender towards oneself and others, especially when we come like 100 people, one door. Kindness is going to be really welcomed in the field. Any spare kindness you have, just... what was your word this morning, June? Make much of. So, let's say this is very valued. And, you know, sometimes benevolence is present in our hearts, and sometimes it's not. you want benevolence to be there, but no. It's just not there. So it's good to be aware of this. It does happen to human beings. You know. But it is a really good fluid. You know, as we sit here today and tomorrow in the silence, the walking, the sitting, and the different ways we're going to practice, just with imagination, if you want, or some way, if you imagine removing any friendliness, any kindness, any goodwill from your heart, psyche, imagine draining it all out. It's even a scary thought, no? Like sitting here with yourself on that chair or cushion, wherever you are, like if there's no access to this, how hard the day is going to be. You know? And if there's a little bit of it in the field or in the, you know, how it's going to be helpful. In the same way as a community, we can imagine this, you know, the time of moving from one posture to another, you know, and trying to reach your shoes or coat or lunch or, you know, if there's none whatsoever of goodwill and benevolence, how hard is going to be for 100 people to be together in a space like this, you know, that will be too cold for some, too hot for others, you know, and all the variations of experiences. And if instead we infuse as much as possible the wish for the well-being of everyone, no one excluded, you know, you too, I want you to. So what's going to happen here as we move in and out, etc., you know, it's going to make it a little bit, I think, more fluid, more possible. So actually, it's to me, that's why I say I'm excited about being here. Because so this is this group of people. It's not like we've been hanging out together for years, or we have in some some form, but now in this little space, like 100 people together is plenty of people for trouble. You know? You don't need more people than 100 to create a lot of havoc and tension. Yet, we're trying something else. You know, we're saying, let's see if we can be in that space, 100 of us, and create healing, clarity, balance, inclusion, visibility, even using silence is an amazing way to do this. Let's use silence. This is the thing that we usually use to give cold shoulder, you know, like that's perfect vehicle for anger. You know, silence, such a good vehicle for ill will, you know, taboo, silenced, made invisible, we don't talk about this, you know, let's use it. It's an ancient way, very, very old way to use silence as the path, we could say, to healing, connection, intimacy, clarity, the opening of the heart, if you think of it like this. And so it's good to be on the same page, you know, on how are we using silence here, you know? Is it for individualism? I know this really well, in the subway in Montreal, you know, that's how silence is used, you know? But here it's a different way we use silence. So it might involve for some of us some discomfort. So weird, eating in silence or being in silence all day. But I think it's worth going in that area of discomfort if it appears like this. And it might very well appear like to you if it be felt or perceived as don't have to be social, you know, the social mask can drop and we can be together in solitude, offering this beautiful gift of solitude. So that's kind of some of the things that are happening. Another thing that is important to say, I think, is that everything that is happening here, I think as you're aware of, but it's good as a community to bring it to the surface of consciousness. We're doing mindfulness right now, so you know, if you think like, when do we start mindfulness? We're in it. It's happening. So collectively we're becoming aware for a few seconds here, and hopefully at different times during the day, that what's going to be happening here the whole weekend is happening in a field, and it's only possible this way, in a field of generosity. Many volunteers around the organization here have made this happen just out of care, really care, concern for our lives, you know. So it's good. I like to even say it, because I feel my nervous system kind of relaxes, understanding, oh, I'm welcome here. I've been wanted here, you know. And in so many ways, you know, all these things that appear, you know, like this. This is generosity, the chair you're sitting on, or maybe cushion. This somebody maybe at home that let us go to that weird thing, you know, although they would have preferred we would have been there today or tomorrow, you know, and so this also is happening since thousands of years, you know, this passing of this knowledge, a way to become curious about life, you know, really, really, really powerful, wholesome. Looks like nothing, but very, very powerful. So this is what's happening here. So we're in an old link. I like to spread time a bit, you know, like time where, like, today, you know, this weekend, me, my life, you know, and then, yeah, but 2,500 years ago, people were sitting like this and doing this really delicate, not easy work of revealing what's there, you know, underneath the preconceived ideas. And so we're in a long, long lineage, and we're just one of the, what is it called? Links, yeah? So we're called to embody this so that this teaching stays alive and can be passed on to other generations. It's not the only knowledge, the only kind of wisdom in the world. There's many kinds of wisdom, but that's a valuable one. A few weeks ago, maybe I'll just tell this little story and we'll dive in. So a few weeks ago, I had the chance to be part of a panel on listening. And one of the person who was part of the panel was a sculptor who works with rocks, huge rocks. Does beautiful work. Yves Dana is his name. He's an Egyptian-Swiss man. And somebody asked in the audience, why do you work with rock and not with clay, for example? You know, that answers more quickly, and you know, because he had been saying, like, to be in dialogue with rock is not easy. You know, that you need huge tools to do what I do, and to, you know, and so, but somebody was saying, are you in relationship with that kind of matter rather than another one? And he said, you know how we are human beings as kids, and many of us adults, when we go to the ocean side or to the side of a river, for example, we'll take a rock. Do you recognize this? Like, take a rock in the hands and just kind of feel it. And it's just, I think that's where it starts from, because there's something that is so big in rock in terms of time and space. Like, it's the story of a rock has millions of years, you know. And intuitively, I think that's the sense I get, you know, that I want to touch, I want to listen to its story and what it wants to say. Or so there's something like this, and I'm saying this just because as I was listening to him saying this, there was this, like, a kind of excitement in me, a recognition. Yeah, that's what it was. It like a recognition. I thought, oh my God, that's why I love meditation. It's the same thing. I never thought about this. Because when I sit here, my experience is that I'm welcomed in nature. Like I'm experiencing nature, human nature. You know, agitation, calm, kindness, doubt, shame, tingling, heat, discomfort, wanting to be somewhere else, wanting to be somebody else, wanting more of that, you know, not wanting that. All this, to me, feel like they're universal experiences. Experiences that human beings have. They're of the public domain, someone would say. So as I sit here and I'm saying this, because that's an important view, wise view as we practice what we're going to practice. So yes, there's the technique thing about it, but the view I think maybe is more important. So as I sit here, I could think it's all about me. I'm so agitated, the other are so calm, and I can do this, but the others can't, or I can do this, the other can't, you know, whatever, kind of through the lens of I and moi, you know. And one of the invitations, if you catch this, is that what's happening here is human nature. And we have the amazing chance to touch it. The human movement of discouragement, of confusion, of clarity, of calm, of breathing. Not yours, exactly. And also, yeah, but also not. Do you see what I mean? This is the wise view here. So we're studying nature, and it's going to be that weather system this morning. And we're invited to go this with a lot of humility. And if you don't, that's fine. You're going to be made humble. That's the way out, you know? Because what's going to be happening here is going to be happening. And we are invited to just notice humbly and see the different movements. Yeah? Should we try this a little bit? Okay. And so I invite you to move if you want a little bit, because some of us have already been sitting for several minutes. So if you want to stretch, move a little bit. If you want, you could practice standing up, or stand up at any time during the sitting. And although I said, you know, let's try it, let's do it, I wouldn't want anybody to become kind of official about it, or tense, or, you know, rigid in the form. It's not necessary, but needed. So maybe finding your sitting posture or standing there, comfortable posture standing. It could be just for the few first minutes. The whole duration of the sit. We'll sit maybe for 20 minutes, or practice for 20 minutes. In terms of spectrum also, maybe I didn't name, maybe several things I didn't name, but I didn't acknowledge that for some of us, this is absolutely new. We're doing this for the first time. For some of us, it's been decades. And we're all welcome here with our level of experience of this practice. What we all have in common, I think, is that we have never been here now. Before. We've never been in this body now. We might have been sometimes, at other times. it's good to know that there's nothing to do. We're just we're doing nothing. We're hanging out in a way. And there is an invitation to value. Sense experience where we might have valued a lot our thoughts about things, might valued a lot maybe later, what's going to happen later, or what did happen. There's a little bit of a movement, switch of values as an experiment. You're going to see if we could value what is present, presently arisen, what is happening now. And not so much our ideas about it, but the experience of it. So thinking about stuff, but invited to feel, live, experience things directly. Sense experience. So we're discovering that there's a body sitting here. Not so much our image of the body, but the experience of it. And maybe the experience of the breath. This body is sitting and breathing. How else is it alive right now? Well, it's hearing, sensitive to sounds and silence and vibrations. There's a body sitting. We can feel that. Breathing. And hearing. It's sensitive now. One day it won't be anymore, but right now it is. We're invited to become aware of this and to see if we can stay around with that sensitivity as it is alive, the tingling maybe in the hands, or relaxation in the hands, or the heat or cold in the hands. Or if not that, the movements of the belly that are happening naturally. Filtered by the description or thoughts or preferences or opinions or comments. Direct experience of the body breathing, sitting, touching. Staying at the point of contact with the reality of the senses, where usually we depart in thoughts, following a sound or a sensation, in storytelling, in wanting. Now we are invited to just see if we can stay there. With the breath, with the hearing, or the sensations in the hands. And we cultivate presence at the sense door. be natural that the habits of mind would come back easily, of getting lost or caught in associations of mind and storytelling and obsessions. We can say thank you so much. We're just feeling the hands now, the breath. Pacifying the agitated mind, we're stabilizing it in the present, one breath at a time, and tingling at a time. You might notice the state of the mind that is meditating. So in mindfulness, there's no judgment. It's just becoming aware. So the mind might be busy, scattered, agitated, or quiet. So there are a lot of things to say in there. Maybe there's a lot of things to say in there. Maybe it's quiet listening. Maybe it's heavy in there, or light, spacious, or tight. I'm using words that describe physical experiences, as I'm talking about the heart, the mind. See for yourself, discover, feel. Texture, the state of the mind meditating. Is it attentive? gone. For a couple of more minutes, just one moment at a time, being aware that we're sensitive, that there's sensitivity, that there's consciousness, or conscious beings. Just being intrigued by that. What is it like to be a human being, to be sensitive, to touch or be touched? Sounds or heat or cold or movements of the breath. What is it like to be conscious at the sense door? Okay, so the practice is extremely extremely simple in a way. We're invited to have, to be particularly aware of what is happening. So not habitually aware, as human beings are, you know. Yeah, body, I've been in the body for a few decades, and, you know. Yeah, hearing, so what? You know, what? Seeing, yeah. And now we're, the invitation is, oh, hold on, there's a body here sitting. What is it like to be in a body? So these questions are not answered with words, they're answered with silence, with listening. What is it like to hear? I think embedded for me in that, there's always a recognition that it's momentary. You know? There is hearing, and there won't be at some point. You know, there is seeing, but it's actually really happening for many of us. And at some point, it won't be. There is breathing. And so we tune in to that experience. And so we're not, it's the opposite of blasé. Breathing, come on, give me something juicy here. No, breathing could stop. I don't want to bring anxiety up, but I want to be really realistic about the experience of being a human being, you know. There is an experience happening in a few moments, maybe stepping. It's going to be a momentary experience. We don't know how long we'll have access to that. You know, but, and so we, it's a training, it's a practice to actually, the mind wants to go, you know, it wants to think about life, and, you know, and then we'll figure out that actually it's absolutely boring from, you know, untrained mind to be with life. Like, what do you mean, like being with life? I don't care, I want to think about life. That is juicy for me, you know, the past, the future, all this, but being here, being connected with life, I don't know. You know, I don't know how you take it, but that's the practice. The practice is, yeah, you know, we spend a lot of time taking care of maybe ourselves, thinking about ourselves. Later I'll do this, then I have to do that. And if I do that, then I'll spending a lot of time and energy around, you know, in this case, Pascal. But then suddenly comes the invitation, do you want to meet Pascal? He's here. Oh no, I don't want to meet him. I want to think about it. I want to organize him, plan him, fear for him, you know, think what's going to happen to him, but actually meet the experience directly? Not so much. It's a little scary. I don't want to. I prefer to plan about him. Do you see a little bit what I mean? I don't know if I'm alone here. Maybe in Victoria that doesn't happen. But, and so here we're saying, okay, so this being that we're obsessed with, in many of the cases, let's experience it. And the experience here of just not planning, not emitting opinions and preferences and positioning myself compared to the others and this and that. If you drop all this, what's actually there? Sensitivity, movements of the belly, I don't know, lightness, calm, discomfort. Yeah? So what we're doing, there might be in what we're doing a little bit of a loss of identity. You know? If I'm not preferring something or having an opinion, you're asking me to drop this for a few moments, what's left? I don't want to be with that space. It's scary. You know? But that's maybe we could call this a rite of passage. By being in that little place where there's no emission of opinions and preferences, but a real meeting, maybe we'll discover something in there. Maybe there's a vast field, either spacious or where care and compassion can arise. That's the portal. So we're really invited to, because it would be easy to spend the day here having opinions about everything. Oh, I would not have put him here, I would have put him there. I would put the temperature at that. I would not welcome so many people. It would be better in a circle, 20. You know. These can, don't be feared. You know, they might seem really important, but they might be, you know, the most effective coping mechanism or avoidance mechanism of reality. And so here we're saying, let's actually be there. So we use sensory awareness. That's the invitation. It's called guarding the senses. Guarding the senses in the old text. So guarding the senses means, imagine there's a little city, a little town or something, and somebody says, can you actually stay at the door of the door of the town and just watch who's coming in and out, like the activity. You know? Just stay there. Don't follow people who come in or out, you know, which we're used to do. You know, the thought comes in, okay, where are we going? We're going to prepare the rest of the life. Okay, I'm going. You know? Just stay there. Just notice. Stay at the door, guarding the senses. So stay at the point of contact as you're sitting here, breathing. It could easily, I'm breathing way too superficially, I need to change my breath, you know. Or it could be, I don't know, heat. Oh my God, why is it so hot? Earlier it was cold, now it's hot. You know, just stay there, stay with the heat. Stay there, see if you can stay there. It's a very, very valuable practice because it's connection with reality. It's just this little thing, almost nothing. It's like going from fiction to reality. It's a little movement of the mind towards reality. And also it can help stabilize, pacify the agitated mind. You know? And so, very kindly, yes, my love, let's stay here. Now in the form of walking, stepping, can we be there? What's the experience of a step landing or lifting? Or as I step walking, the experience of, I don't know, light, coolness, or standingness. What's that experience? Or turning. What is that experience of being there? The experience of, I don't know, feeling ashamed. I don't want to do this, or trapped, or, you know, touched by beauty. Just notice what's happening. Don't have to create anything, just notice what is actually there. Boredom. Agitation, restlessness is there. Okay, that's what's there. How does it feel? Exactly like this. And so, yeah, the form it takes now is, let's see if I can tie it up. Okay, good enough. Okay. Thanks, Julie. So, mindfulness in action. So, I could easily stand up to be up, but because I'm doing the radical practice of mindfulness, as I stand up, I'm invited to actually feel the experience. Whoa! Far out! Wow, I thought I had two legs the same, and they don't feel the same at all. And so there's this momentary experience of the body. As I thought, this was my body since decades and decades. I'm discovering this particular body that has verticality and whatever else is going on, you know? So I'm diving underneath assumptions, my body, yes, yeah, my body, to what is the actual experience of being in a body? So, and later it'll be, what is the actual experience of putting on a shoe, and or a coat, or opening a door and being hit by, I don't know, is it going to be dampness or light or freshness or relief? You know? And so that's the, we just pay attention to what arises. Nature is very generous, it's going to offer something. Even nothing is quite a particular experience. Right, and so the practice we do, and many of you know, in the walking is we just choose a little path. I don't know if there's space to do this inside, maybe a few corridors, or mostly
some inside.
Okay, so some space inside. Probably mostly for us, it would be outside in this beautiful space here. I don't want to impose beauty on anybody. You might experience it as beautiful or not. But then you choose a little path, 10, 15, 20 paces, steps. And And then the experience is just to actually be there, embodied, and just walk. You can walk at a normal pace, slower pace, as you want, and just see if you can experience the being there. And there'll be many things, like, why do this big wave of doubt? It has no value. You know, see if you can stay in the middle of that field of doubt, you know, as it crosses. No, just keep walking. You know? And then suddenly there might be a field of quietness. Suddenly we'll become quiet. Just stay, keep walking. And then at some point there might be, I don't know, what happens? Wave of boredom. This is boring. See if you're gonna die of boredom. Not many have. You know, stay there. And then become, maybe it'll become intimate at some point. There'll be just, I don't know, a soundscape will appear. You would, you know, something that was there but was not noticed will become, come into focus. Suddenly, the sound field. Let that experience become known fully. And then something else will appear. Could that work? Can we try that? Questions? Okay. Yes?
Nobody talked about where we can walk out on the paths and stuff.
Yeah, so there's going to be like about a half hour walking session. And so on the grass here, the space, maybe the parking lot for some. And on the other side of the street, if I remember well, there's a little path or a path leading somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's some construction happening over there, but does anyone know? Has anybody been walking at Queenswood?
The sign says to keep out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, use your own discretion.
One good thing is to try to see if there is a pattern, like a so you don't cross path with each other, you know. So if people walk in this way, try to not walk in that way. You know, so that's also mindfulness, being aware of the space and what's happening in the space and how we can participate.
Did you close your eyes when you're walking?
So in the walking, the invitation is to open the eyes. And the good side of it is that some of us might make the sorry association of meditation or mindfulness with stillness and eyes closed, which is really sorry, because most of the day, you know, eyes will be open and will be in movement. And so that's a really important practice. So the invitation is to open the eyes. And you know, when you reach the end of the little path, if you want for a second, close the eyes and feel the body or hear the sounds. We're becoming sensitive here. That's what we're practicing. We're becoming sensational. People. So sensory awareness is at the center of it here this weekend. That's the portal, the doorway, that's the field actually. It's not even the portal, it's the field of insight. And so becoming aware of seeing as it's happening, it's very primary. Eh? Like we're seeing now, but for us it's like, yeah, but you don't care, next week this or that. You're like, no, you're seeing now. You're breathing now. Yeah, but the rest of my life. Yeah, but breathing is happening here. So it's not easy. We're switching values. You know, when we've been valuing something, we're saying, let's for a little while value something else here, just to see what could come out of this. Yes?
I'm just not clear. Am I picking a little path and going back and forth on it, or am I wondering where...
You're very clear. It's, well... your first description was very clear and succinct and right. So back and forth on a few steps, going nowhere, or going back to where you started from, et voila. Okay, all right.